Welcome to another episode of Free Basketball. This is the beginning of March Madness. We do this every year. This is the picking your upsets, picking a champion, and we're doing brackets. And we have, last year, I called him the king or the mayor of Fayette County. I can't remember what the nickname I gave to him, but he joins us every year for this. It's a lot of fun to talk college basketball with him. And that is one Mr. Brandon Bradford, his one episode a year. Yep. So we talked to his agent. The city of Somerville allowed him to come on to this podcast for today. Brandon, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How you been?
Pretty good. Pretty good. We haven't, we obviously, if you know us or know us at all, or if you're a new listener, great. We actually coached together at Fayette Academy. So it's been a month, I think, right? Without, since the season ended.
Yeah.
So we go from, seeing each other every day to this one Zoom call, maybe a round of golf or two. We'll see. Yeah. But we always like talking about the upsets in our brackets, and we always are maybe too logical with this and maybe have seen too much, because it feels like the people that don't watch basketball at all do much better in the NCAA tournament picking this stuff. But we are going to give you some guidelines on what to look for when you're picking these upsets. We know it's coming out today. The first four starts tonight. We're going to kind of give, I guess, who will win that for tonight, but focusing on the bracket at large. So, Brandon, are you ready to get into March Madness? First of all, how excited were you that Selection Sunday was finally here?
It was great. Obviously, I'm a big Memphis fan, and it's good to see us back in it. Not necessarily pleased with where we got, but at least we're in it. So.
Yeah, I was about to say, got screwed, but yeah, we're in it, right?
Right. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah. The one that right. I said, right? And that's what I had sent y'all a couple days ago, the Lunardi projection, which actually had Memphis playing Marquette in the 8-9. And then the second round matchup would have been against Kansas, which I said would have been, I would absolutely loved. It'd have been perfect. Nope. Let's rank Memphis as the worst 9 seed and put them against Gonzaga. So truly unfortunate, but Memphis might be a prime candidate for this first round upset, because we're going to get into this right away. We got a lot to do because we're doing both picks for upset and NBA champion. Plus we're doing two brackets. So we'll try to keep it moving. Who knows? Might get bogged down. I like to talk. We'll see. But kind of things that we had, I have four criteria that you need to look for high seeds. And this is 10 through 16. You have four criteria: top 75 offense from, these are all KenPom stats. It's $20 for a year. I do it. Why not? Seems relatively cheap. Couple bucks. You know how people say a cup of coffee a day will help feed the kids in Africa. This is how I feel about feeding my March Madness appetite. So KenPom is that to me. So KenPom stats, it's top 75 offense, top 90 offensive rebound percentage, 3-point percentage, I put at a baseline of 35% and above. I think the national average for college basketball is right at 33.5%. So 35, at least you got a decent shooting, 3-point shooting team. And then I added a criteria to this from what we did last year to help me filter out all these, because you get a lot of potential teams that could pull upsets. And that's a KenPom. They're in the top 60. So anybody that's in KenPom top 60 that's a high seed is typically misseeded. And so if you're outside the top 60, there's a very rare chance that you're going to actually win. It happens every once in a while, but I think it's only happened two or three times, and they were massive upsets over the past 15 to 20 years. So with that criteria of all the double-digit seeds, I'm going to kind of put you on the hot seat already, Brandon. What do you think are the top four or five upset candidates that you think fit these kind of markers? And excuse me, it's 9 through 16, not 10 through 16. 9 is considered a high seed. So of the 9 through 16, who do you think are the top candidates for this?
All right. One team that I've picked for the first round upset that I really like in the West is Davidson. I do like them because of what you're talking about, the shooting percentage, the 3-point percentage, which comes into play usually in these upsets. They have shot almost 800 three-pointers this year, shooting at 38, almost 39%. And they're, which means they're shooting 24 three-pointers a game at 38%. Their scores have been high, and also their matchup against Michigan State. Michigan State has struggled to guard the perimeter this year. So that's why I like Davidson in that situation.
Yep, Davidson is one of them. They are tied for third with a couple of teams for upset candidates. You've got one right off the bat. What do you think one of these top teams are that have all four markers?
And along with Davidson, I really like Loyola Chicago. Probably just looking at them matched up against these Big Ten teams, but there are a couple teams that I see that fill that.
Yeah, Loyola is one of the top five for sure. They're tied with Davidson. Both have three of the markers. The three-point shooting, they're in the KenPom top 60. They have top 75 offense. Yeah, I'm waiting for you to say one of the top two, because I think you're going to be surprised by one of the top two who fit this.
Don't tell me it's UT Chat.
No, it is not UT Chat, okay. But in the same state.
So you got to be talking about Memphis, right?
It is. It's Memphis. Memphis hits all four markers. And I know 35 is the baseline, but they are right above it, above that threshold. That so the cool. second team is UAB. Wow. UAB hits all four classic markers of picking a first round upset. Does that surprise you? Well, UAB is probably surprising. Memphis, would you have thought Memphis would be a top 75 offense, a top 90 off? Well, the offensive rebound makes sense. Yeah. But the three-point shooting, never would have guessed. No. But KenPom top 60, they hit all four markers. So they are a prime candidate, them and UAB.
That's very surprising for Memphis, because it seems like in the tournament, everything was at the rim. But I guess when you think about it, that does raise your percentage for three-pointers, because it's not like they're just chunking up threes. To be honest with you, I haven't watched UAB at all and know absolutely nothing about them. But I have heard that they've got a little guard that is incredible.
I believe the head coach is Andy Kennedy, right? Old Miss guy.
Yeah. Jordan Walker is the guard from UAB. 5'11"
okay.
Point guard. He scored 42 points at MTSU this year. He's taken as many as 30 shots in one game. Has made 9 three-pointers in one game against Louisiana Tech. So he scores at a high rate. He's shooting 40% from the three-point line, and he's attempted 283 three-pointers. So that's somebody to look at with them. I've heard that he can take over a game. He's a playmaker and creates his own shot. So I'm kind of excited to watch him. Like I said, I haven't seen them at all this year. I love those little guards who are playmakers, especially tournament time. They're fun to watch.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the big things about upsets, right? It's obviously the matchup, which UAB Houston is probably my favorite first round matchup of them all. And then you need the guard that can take over for one of these mid-major, high-seeded teams, right? Or low-seeded teams, because that's basically one of the biggest things to determine. If you've got the guard play, you can make a pretty decent run. So this is a prime candidate. I love UAB. Obviously, in all my brackets, I have picked Memphis to at least beat Boise State. We might talk about that bracket here in a minute, because I am interested in your thoughts about Memphis potentially against Gonzaga. But other teams that have hit a high rate, these are teams that have at least – these are three markers. We already mentioned Davidson, Loyola, UAB, and Memphis. The other candidates, Michigan, Notre Dame, Vermont, and Virginia Tech. Now, the other thing I did to filter those is I also compared – there's also a pretty good historical marker about a team that is ranked higher in KenPom than what the committee actually ranked them in their seeding. Yeah. So, for example, Notre Dame ranked by the committee, they ranked them 47th. According to KenPom, they're 52nd. Yeah. So that's a team I'm actually not really sure I want to bet on to. Maybe they will beat Rutgers, but they're not a team I want to take, you know, for a big upset. Now, here's like other teams that kind of fit these markers on these upsets, but are actually ranked worse in KenPom than by the committee that you might think about staying away from the upset. Creighton as a 9 seed, ranked 33rd by the committee, 53 in KenPom. Davidson is actually 40th by the committee and 41st in KenPom. So that feels right on line. I don't think that's bad. I think that's fine. I still like Davidson to beat Michigan State there. Marquette, a 9 seed, ranked 35th by the committee, 47th on KenPom. TCU, 34th by the committee, 38th on KenPom. Iowa State as an 11 seed, 41st by the committee, 48th by KenPom. So here's a couple teams that are in the top 60. They fit all these markers, and they also had the added stipulation of being higher ranked on KenPom than their actual seeding. San Francisco, 10 seed, 37th by the committee, 21st in KenPom. Wow. Loyola, 39th by the committee, 24th by KenPom. Virginia Tech as an 11 seed, 46th by the committee, 23rd in KenPom. KenPom has Virginia Tech as a top 25 team.
I think they're honestly.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And I didn't check Memphis's because I know that they're higher ranked than what their KenPom is, because what, a 9 seed is going to be 30 something and they're like 28th or right, 27th right, or something like 27th that
the other day.
Yeah. So they're definitely higher. So these are the teams that I have already just auto locked into my bracket for at least one upset. And that's Memphis, Loyola, San Francisco, Virginia Tech, and who's the other one? I said another one, didn't I? No, Loyola, Memphis, San Francisco, Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
And Davidson, I'm kind of on the fence. I'm still going to pick Davidson because it's Michigan State. Yeah. And like you said, Big Ten fade. But those are the five teams that I'm auto-betting in every bracket I fill out. And doesn't mean it'll actually happen, but historically, it makes a lot of sense. Now, the other one that isn't an auto pick for me, but I am very interested by, is UAB, and that's for one simple factor. And that is also the factor in these brackets, is that you want to fade a mid-major that has a 5 seed or above. So the candidate that fits that is Houston. Houston is a 5 seed. It's the classic 5-12. Now, I think in the past 13 or 14 tournaments, the mid-major that's been a 5 or above seed has lost in the first round half the time. And the other half of the time, they have immediately lost in the second round. So for all you people who have Houston in the Sweet 16, may not be a great look. Now, last year, they actually were the one team that made it past the Sweet 16 and made it to the Final Four. But how much of that was luck? Because if you look at that bracket and how it broke down, I mean, you had them playing Syracuse. They almost lost to Rutgers second round, who was like a 7 seed or a 10 seed. I mean, you had Oregon State at the top of that bracket, Loyola at the top of that bracket. So they got a very easy path to the Final Four. This time, they're right in the middle of it. And I don't see that bracket breaking for them again to where they can make a run like that. So Houston is a team I'm definitely looking to fade on these upsets. I might take UAB first round. If not, I have Houston definitely losing second round. I don't think they're a Sweet 16 team. Do you feel the same way after watching them a couple times this year against Memphis?
Yeah, I was going to say, I just don't think Houston is that good. They do have White, their main post player, back from a back injury, and he helped them in the championship game. And of course, it's hard to beat a team 3 times in a season. But saying that, you say they're in the middle of it. I mean, they get past UAB. Who are they playing? Illinois or UT Chat?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just treating the Big Ten like I treated the Pac-12 last year, but I'm just not a big fan of the Big Ten this year. So I really don't think that's a tough game to get into the Sweet 16. Will they be okay. Arizona or TCU? No, but I do think that they could get to the Sweet 16 if they can get past UAB.
Wow. I'm just not, after watching Houston, just like you, I'm just not big on Houston. I do not see them making a Sweet 16, but we are going to get to that bracket. So we'll see where each of us have them. So moving on from these picking upsets, once again, the five teams that you want to consider to pull an actual first round upset, that's Memphis, that's Loyola, that's San Francisco, that's, where are they? Virginia Tech. And you know what? I didn't check Vermont. I should have checked Vermont. Vermont might be one of those teams too.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm sorry. Vermont is 59th by the committee, or 59 by KenPom. I'm 53 by committee, so that one actually doesn't fit the marker. But they are top 60. I know Vermont's kind of like a sexy pick over Arkansas, but those are the five teams you need to key on. Now, remember, but when you do these upsets, when you're picking a bracket, I know it's Tuesday night. Probably a lot of you already have your bracket in. Sorry. But if you can wait, if some of you start till Thursday, I know most people who do a bracket pool, they wait till the first round. They don't really care about the first four anyways. They just auto-select whichever team. You get both teams. You need to pick at least six upsets in the first round. Minimum average is 7.11, I believe, for the past 25 to 30 years. So at least six, you'll be fine. Now, they may not be the right six, but you need to at least pick six. So that covers the upsets. Now to get to a champion, we did do this last year. There is 11 preset categories that I look at, or 12 preset categories that I look at for ranking teams that if they fit this mold, they move on to a next round to meet another set of criteria. So here are the top teams. This is out of 12. The only team in this tournament that fits 11, no team fits all 12. The only team that fits 11 is Gonzaga. Does that surprise you at all?
Yeah.
Now there is four teams that fit this criteria with ten out of 12. And that's Arizona, Auburn, Illinois, and Duke. Does that surprise you at all?
A little bit.
Who do you not like in that list?
Once again,
all of them? You don't like all of them?
Yeah, maybe Illinois. Maybe that's just my Big Ten thing again. Seems to be a recurring thing.
Well, what do you think about Auburn? With everybody's really down on Auburn, they're a bad away team. They've fallen in the past couple weeks. They lose in the SEC tournament first game. Their guard play is what they're being hit on. They have a top three pick in Jabari Smith. Like, what are you that down on Auburn as everyone, the consensus of everyone else seems to be, all the experts, quote unquote?
I'm really not. They obviously haven't been playing their best in the past couple weeks, but I've just thought all season that Auburn's just a tournament type team. And like you said, when you have somebody like that on your team, you're always going to have a chance. And I just like their path. I mean, they got Jacksonville State and then winner of USC and Miami. So I really think it's just their path that's what makes the difference for me.
Yeah, I completely agree, because I think Kansas is the weakest one seed by far. Yeah. Is that the weakest one seed to you, or do you think it's Baylor, Arizona with the point guard being injured? What's your one seed that you think is more susceptible to being upset?
Baylor and Kansas are about even for me with that. I really don't think Kansas is that great. But like I said, I think that Midwest bracket is the weakest of all four by far. Baylor, on the other hand, you're playing North Carolina, Marquette in the second round. I see Baylor having more trouble coming out of that.
Yeah. I agree with you completely on Auburn. I think everyone's too down on them. If they get past the USC Miami winner, I think they have just a stroll into the Elite Eight at least, and even the Final Four, because I think this is a potential for Kansas to be one of those teams that's upset early.
Right.
And I don't especially love Iowa and Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Talking about the Big Ten, I just don't think they'll actually challenge. I think they could be upset early. So to me, this is talked about earlier about Houston having a favorable road as a two seed last year. This is the exact same spot that they were, that Houston was in last year, and got that walk to the final. Now, I know it wasn't easy. I mean, they almost lost to Rutgers. They almost, you know, Syracuse took them for a little while. So they'll have to win these games, but I think it is a more favorable path. I completely agree with you. So I am interested by Auburn. A couple more teams, and we'll get into kind of whittling it down by criteria to come down to a couple teams that you need to pick on. But teams that also have nine out of 12 markers for this picking a champion criteria: Kentucky, Villanova, Purdue, and Iowa. Does that hurt?
A little bit. I didn't expect to hear Iowa in that.
I agree. I did not expect to see Iowa in there.
Yeah.
So that's the team I'm definitely wanting to fade. But these are just trying to find Final Four contenders. Other teams of interest to at least make the Final Four, maybe sneaky championship pick. These teams have eight. That's Baylor, Kansas, and UCLA. So you're talking about 2-1 seeds that don't have four of the 12 markers. And then UCLA, who I think is a sneaky pick because they have dealt with injuries all year, and they still hit a lot of the big historical markers that you look for in a champion. And Baylor last year had that COVID pause, which I think is what the mistake, you know, I made last year when we did this, is Baylor only had seven or six of the markers last year, but they had that big COVID pause that really threw them off for essentially a month. So how much of that affected their overall rankings in KenPom? So they're kind of hiding behind the scenes. So I'm kind of expanding it a little bit to try to find those teams who may, you know, TCU is a team that had a COVID pause in the middle of the season, and they came back and they beat Texas Tech and Kansas, I think, after they got through that whole month where they were just missing a bunch of guys. I mean, one time at practice, I think they only had four kids. So it's this COVID thing is still something that we have to look for. We're looking for these teams for champions. So I'm kind of expanding a little bit to include the teams that I think have had kind of tumultuous years. Now, usually if you have kind of an injury tumultuous year like UCLA has had, usually that doesn't stop. But they have, Mick Cronin has said that he's rested guys, load management for some guys when they've had to do six games in 10 days. So I'm including them in this for sure. Is there a team that you would have thought would have been higher ranked in these kind of criterias for picking a champion to get to at least to the Final Four that you did not hear?
You didn't mention Arkansas, did you?
I did not. Oh. That is one team that I thought you might be interested by. The other one is Tennessee.
I was going to say Tennessee.
Next. Which is everyone is butthurt about Tennessee not getting a two seed, and Duke did. But Tennessee and Arkansas have the same markers. They're six. They have six out of the 12 markers that you need for picking champion. And I just don't really remember them having big COVID pauses or a bunch of injuries to their team. I just think they're at least Tennessee. I think Tennessee is at least slightly overrated. I still think they're good, yeah. But I do think they're slightly overrated. I don't like Rick Barnes, and you know that. And Arkansas is a team of interest, but I do think they're kind of more one note with Note. Yeah. So I'm kind of interested by Arkansas, but I do like both teams. This is just not two teams that I'm interested in taking to a Final Four. Yeah. Does that sway you off your Arkansas feeling, or are you still all the way?
Yeah, I like Arkansas. Tennessee is just Kroger brand Gonzaga. but
That Piggly Wiggly.
But I do like, I like Arkansas a lot.
Yeah, I like both teams. I just not sure how far I'm going to put them. But now to kind of whittle it down even more by the criteria. So we have these teams are in the top rankings of the criteria for a champion. Now to get kind of a list for Final Four contenders, we have about 14 or 15 teams. I'm not going to go through each, basically listed all of them talking about the criteria, but they do need to have specific markers. They have to have top 25 offense, which usually it's top 15 or above. But we'll go with 25 for the marker. And then they have to have a baseline of a top 40 defense. Most past champions have been at least 20th or better defense. So they have to have both. So I have a list of three that fit both. And then I have two that are kind of asterisk. Okay. So do you want me to give you the three that fit both the historical markers, or do you want to guess them?
Well, it's probably the one seeds.
Okay.
And
which one seeds? Which three?
Gonzaga. I don't know. It might only be two of them.
Okay. Which two?
Gonzaga and Arizona.
Arizona is one. Gonzaga is not.
Oh, wow.
And here is the they are the asterisk team. Okay. Because there is one thing that if you look for historically for picking a champion, there's one thing that excludes Gonzaga. And this is why it's an asterisk, because besides that, they would be a fourth team to be this champion contender. But over the past 25 to 30 years, only like three or four teams that were ranked preseason number one and ranked number one going as the number one overall seed heading into the tournament won it. So you're talking about less than 10% chance that Gonzaga as a preseason number one overall and the number one overall seed going into March Madness, they would be the outlier to this typical trend of number one overall seeds. So that is why they're an asterisk for this. But you have Arizona. Arizona is a qualifier for a champions list. There is another one seed, and you're not going to like it.
So it's Kansas.
Nope.
Wow. Baylor.
Baylor fits this list again. Wow. And I just could not put into my mind that they have a chance to repeat after watching them. Now, they are going through a bunch of injury stuff right now. So,
yeah.
I don't know if it's kind of survive at the beginning and then everyone gets healthy and they make that push again. But they, according to these markers, they have a real chance at going back to back. Is that shocking? Would that be the first team to do it since Florida?
I think so.
Wow. It would never have entered my mind to think of that. But this is kind of the formula. This is what turns out. Now, there is one more team that actually makes the list, and then there's the other asterisk team. This last team that makes the list is a two seed.
I was looking at Duke.
Not Duke. Wow. Duke doesn't have the defense.
Is it Villanova?
Nope.
Wow. Then it's got to be Kentucky, right?
Nope.
Wow.
It's the other SEC team. It is Auburn. So the three teams that hit these markers, Auburn, Baylor, Arizona, Gonzaga is an asterisk team if you believe in the preseason number one thing, or if you believe that they're the outlier to be one of the fifth team to ever do this in the past 30 years. The other one that is right outside, and the only reason I'm including them is because I already talked to them about injury-riddled year, but they fit these markers, is UCLA. So you've got five teams, three with a realistic chance, two with an outside chance based on if you believe in the preseason number one, and if you believe in the story of the injuries and they'll be back healthy to make this run. But UCLA makes sense to me. They were within an overtime and a bank three from Jalen Suggs at a half court to making the finals. And this is the exact same team. No one graduated. Everyone is back. It makes sense to me. I know they needed luck to even get out of the first game. But this is another year. If they can avoid injury, I think UCLA has to be considered as one of these champions. So the five, Auburn, Baylor, Arizona, those are the ones that definitely fit the qualifiers. And then the asterisk teams, Gonzaga and UCLA. Do you like the list, or is the team that you picked on your brackets on the list?
The team that I picked is not there, actually.
Oh, who did you pick?
Do I go ahead and say it? Or?
We'll wait. We'll save it at the end. But those are the lists. Those are kind of the markers that you look for picking champion. I know we took a little long on that, but I think that was good info. We're going to try to blow through these brackets right here. So we're going to start. We're going to do the West and the South. We're saving the last two for another guest, which will be coming up in an episode basically right after this, because we want to have this out, all the brackets out before the first four tonight. So hope you get the upset picks in before you turn in your bracket. If not, fill out another bracket, put in another $20. You'll be fine. But here's going with the West bracket. Last year, we kind of did a consensus pick. I'm just going to keep it individual, so we can kind of compare how we see the bracket breaking down. But let's go through this. The West region, we do have a play-in. We'll start with that one. It's 2-11 seeds, Rutgers versus Notre Dame. Now, in the past, I think since they came out with this first four, a team that was in this play-in has advanced to the second round every year. Is this the kind of grouping of teams that you think is the ones to actually advance? Because the winner of this plays Alabama. Do you like this to be the advancing first four team?
If Rutgers wins, yes. If Notre Dame wins.
Oh, you like Rutgers?
Yes.
Oh, I'm surprised. Why do you like Rutgers more over Notre Dame?
Just from watching them, just the overall playmaking ability. I see them as a team with multiple weapons that is good enough to control the pressure from Alabama, because that's all they're about, is speeding up the game and pressuring you. And I think Rutgers would be better at handling that than Notre Dame would be. So really that's my main reason for that.
Interesting. It is an interesting thing, because Rutgers, we've talked about three times already, almost beating Houston the second round last year. I haven't paid attention to Rutgers a lot. I don't know who they lost in return from last year, but I think they've got the main guys. So that is interesting. So you would pick Rutgers for that. Who would you pick? You pick Rutgers for that one?
For the Notre Dame game, yeah.
So you got Rutgers. I'm actually going to take Notre Dame. Just because I've actually watched them a couple times, and I don't love them, but they're not going to be one of my advancing final first four teams. So it doesn't break my heart. But let's get 1-16, Gonzaga versus Georgia State. Do you even have to mention it?
Yeah, Gonzaga. I watched Georgia State, watching a kid that we used to coach against earlier in the year, and just wasn't very impressed.
Yeah. By the kid or the team?
Both.
Good luck to you, Georgia State. All right, Boise State. 8-seed Boise State versus 9-seed Memphis. Like I've said, I have auto-picked Memphis in every bracket. Are you the same? Or do you think Boise State can actually make it a in-the-mud game?
I am the same. I've got Memphis. We're playing well right now. I don't know if you remember, we played them in the quarterfinals of the NIT last year. And beat them by 3 points. I think it was like 56-53.
Okay.
So Boise State is familiar with us, and they have that. They're going to have that vengeance from losing to us last year, ending their season last year. But at the same time, I think Memphis is a lot better, and we're playing our best basketball right now. As long as injuries and fatigue isn't an option or a factor, because that's Saturday, the loss against Houston. You could tell that's really what set in, the third tough physical game in 3 days, and people were starting to get hurt and they were just dead tired. But if that's not a factor, I think we're beating them.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see the update on Duren with those wrists. I mean, the man is just mummified. qualified basically, but I just don't care. They hit the upset markers. I'm going with Memphis regardless. The 5-12 UConn versus New Mexico State. Who do you have in this one?
I honestly haven't watched New Mexico State, so I've got UConn in mind.
Yeah, I actually watched New Mexico State play in their final, and I'm kind of intrigued by them. Like, they have the talent and the ability, I think, to stick with UConn and give them problems, but they turn the ball over a lot, which is you don't want to do against UConn, and they're a very poor free throw shooting team. So when it comes down to it, I may be interested more in New Mexico State on the spread of this game, which I think is still 6.5, 7.5, but I don't think I can actually pick them to upset UConn. But it is a team that I had on my radar initially. But I've got UConn as well. The 4-13 Arkansas, Vermont. Everyone is loving Vermont. They're the most complete. They're fundamental. They're going to beat Arkansas. Do you believe the same? Are you buying it?
I think Arkansas is going to be a little too quick for them. They're going to out-athleticize them.
What are you trying to say? Read between the lines on that one.
Exactly.
Now, this is kind of unfortunate for Arkansas. Last year, they got Colgate, who was everybody's sexy first-round pick. You know, a bunch of under-athleticized kids who shot a bunch of threes. We'll say it that way. And this kind of seems the same, although there might be a little more diversity of style on Vermont this year. But they are essentially the same matchup for Arkansas. So it's kind of unfortunate. It seems like the committee's trying to screw Arkansas. That's what it feels like to me. Would you agree with that? That it feels like they've tried to get them the past 2 years. They just might not like Musselman.
Probably right.
The 6-11, though, so in this play-in, I have Alabama versus Notre Dame, which I'm taking Alabama. I think they have been off the radar for a long time that no one's even thinking about them, but I do think they're an interesting team. They are just so hot or cold, right? They beat Gonzaga, lose to Memphis. Beat whatever, lose to TCU. That's just kind of their team. But you have Rutgers versus Alabama. Are you still going with that upset?
I think Rutgers gives them more of a challenge than Notre Dame would. But I'm still going to go with Alabama.
Okay, so we have Bama. Man, we have a pretty lock and step bracket here. 3-14, Texas Tech, Montana State. Do you believe in the Raiders?
Yeah, I got Texas Tech.
Yeah, I've got Texas Tech as well, even though I watched Montana State, and I think they're interesting. I just don't think they have enough, kind of like the athleticism thing, like you said about Vermont. I think they'll be able to match their athleticism. I just don't think they can match the depth that Texas Tech has. So I think that it could be a game for a while, but last 12 minutes or so of the game, I think Texas Tech separates by the end, which gets us to 7-10. I think we're both going to be the same on this one as well. Michigan State versus Davidson.
Yeah, I got Davidson in this one.
I've got Davidson as well. I like the markers. I'm pulling an upset. So I've got Davidson. Duke, Cal State Fullerton.
I got Duke.
Believing in the orange, the waves or whatever they're called. I can't remember what they are. Maybe that's Pepperdine.
Are they the same with like the beach on the floor? It's got like the
I think it is. Yeah, I can't remember what it is. I know their uniforms are orange, but I think Duke could beat them boys by 40. Yeah. They're just not very good at all.
Oh, they've got the trees. They've got the palm trees on the court. That's what it is.
The palm trees. Okay, that's what it is, yeah. Second round, we both have Gonzaga versus Memphis. Do you believe in Memphis with these markers being basically in the past decade of NCAA tournaments, a one seed has lost in the second round. Is this one of those potential 9-1 upsets?
Man, first of all, if Memphis is where if Memphis is where Creighton is, I could see us in the Final Four. but matching up Gonzaga second round, I mean, we obviously have the athleticism inside to not just let them dominate us in the post, but we don't necessarily have the best track record against teams that play like they do, that are organized and just as athletic as we are. As much as it hurts me, I got to pick Gonzaga on that one. But on game day, I'm all Memphis.
Yeah. I had to go with Gonzaga too. I wanted to pick it. I would have 100% picked it if it was Kansas. But yeah, of course, the committee hates Penny, so, and Larry Brown. So this is where we are. Now the next matchup, UConn versus Arkansas. Who do you have in this one?
I've got Arkansas in that one.
I actually agree. I like Arkansas. They're equivalent teams, but I think Arkansas is just going to be a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to be a super fun second round matchup. Maybe the best second round matchup because they're so, so similar. Next, Alabama versus Texas Tech. Who you got here?
I think I went with Texas Tech on this one.
We have our first disagreement. I'm actually going to ride Alabama, and I'm going to take the high variance, and I'm going to roll the dice with it because we know every year, March, it's about guard play.
Yeah.
Texas Tech guards are good, but they're not a very good shooting team. It's everything's to the basket. Alabama, yeah, I like their guards better, and I think they're all juniors or seniors. So this is where I differ, and I think everybody's sleeping on Bama to at least make the Sweet 16. So I've got Alabama here. So our first non-agreement here. Now, we might have a non-agreement here on this last one, Davidson versus Duke. What do you have?
I got Duke.
All right. We don't have a disagreement. I've got Duke as well. to the Sweet 16, Gonzaga versus Arkansas. Who do you have here?
I've got Gonzaga.
This one is tough for me. Because if Arkansas gets past Vermont, I really think Arkansas has a shot to beat Gonzaga. And it's purely just a guard play. I think the weakest part of Gonzaga is their guard play, especially from their 1 and 2. And I'm also not a huge Drew Timmy guy. And I think Williams from Arkansas can handle him just fine. But I'm going to go with Gonzaga as well, even though I have some brackets where I have Arkansas going to the Elite Eight and beating Gonzaga. I think that they could fall early, which would be appropriate for a Mark Few team. I just think I think Drew Timmy is his crutch. And I think Gonzaga, I think it's going to show eventually in the tournament. I'm just not sure where, because I think Gonzaga is better playing small ball, quote unquote, with Chet Holmgren as a five, with Watson and Strother. And Nembhard, and I can't remember the other kid's name, but I think they're better when it's that five, not playing Timmy and Chet together. So I think that's ultimately going to be the doom of Gonzaga. And it's because Mark Few just can't let him go. Like he's got him here and he's just going to ride that horse until it's in Elmer's factory. And that's essentially what's going to happen to him, is that's the reason they're going to lose. It's his dependency on Drew Timmy and playing those two together. But I'll take Gonzaga here for this sake. Now, I have Alabama versus Duke. I'm not that dumb. I'm going to take Duke. Texas Tech for Duke for you.
I got Duke.
Duke as well. Now, Duke-Gonzaga matchup for both of us. Earlier in the year, Duke did beat them in a very high-scoring game. Exploiting that style of the small ball. What do you think it happens again?
This is
the Coach K ride.
I do, especially because of Duke's past week and a half or so. I mean, Coach K is obviously going to make adjustments, and I think Duke's coming out ready for the tournament for anybody. I've got Duke going past Gonzaga in this one, going to the Final Four.
I completely agree. And we essentially have the same bracket in this region, which is kind of scary, which maybe we should just play opposite when you agree on. But I agree. I think Duke has now had successive weeks of getting bashed over the head by the media. You lost your last Coach K game to UNC. You lost in the ACC championship. You got stomped kind of by Virginia Tech. I agree. I think they're going to be completely ready, and they're going to push, and I think they're going to be fearsome in the playoff, in the tournament. Yeah. So I like Duke here to make that Final Four berth, and I like it even better if Arkansas or UConn are one of those teams to knock off Gonzaga in the Sweet 16. So I think this is a good path for Duke. I like it a lot. So that is the West bracket. Let's do the South, which I think is the most entertaining bracket of the tournament. We won't even talk about the play-in on the 116. Well, maybe we should, because Bryant has that kid, Peter Kiss, who was showing out for the crowd and was doing all his flying, which ended in a fight in the stands, which was weird.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to automatically pick Wright State, but I kind of want Bryant to win so that Arizona can beat them by 50 and destroy that Peter Kiss kid. Even though I'm okay with the showboating and stuff, but your fans shouldn't be taunting, you know, rival schools to cause fights. You know, it's just, come on. I'm okay with the on-court taunting, but you shouldn't be fighting in the stands. It's not that serious. You're not playing. Like, you have econ in the morning. It's not that serious. Okay. So I assume you have Arizona beating the 16.
Yeah.
Seton Hall versus TCU, 8-9.
I got TCU in this one.
I actually agree with that. I've got TCU as well in this one. I'm just not a huge fan of the Big East this year. I just don't think they're I don't think they're very good. And the thing I always forget about the Big East, most people forget about, is, yes, they have really good guard play because it's in the Northeast. All the point guards, I should say, are from like that Philadelphia, New York, Connecticut area. But they just don't have the size. And that's the thing that I'm interested in, is because TCU has the size to kind of punish them. Yeah. But it'll be a good game, I think. The 5-12, Houston versus UAB. We talked about this with the upsets already. Are you believing in UAB, or are you for Houston here?
I think this will be one of the best games of the first round, if not the best game. And on Thursday, if UAB wins, I'm not going to be upset. But I do have Houston winning this one.
Okay, you have Houston. I'm sticking with my guns on UAB. I've got UAB here. And like you said, it is a supremely entertaining game. Yeah. I definitely have already taken UAB plus 8.5. You better believe it.
Yeah.
Number 413, Illinois versus Chattanooga. Do you believe in this hype about UT Chat having DeSilva, who's a transfer from Kansas? I feel like there's a lot of hype about this being a potential upset. Are you buying it? Or are you riding with the Orange, or whatever they are, stupid mascot? No, that's Syracuse. They're the Fighting Illini. Still a stupid mascot.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Yeah, so Chattanooga's a half-court buzzer beater away from not being here at all. But Illinois is also in my Big Ten circle of teams I just don't trust. In my bracket
– Ring of Fire?
Right. In my bracket, I actually picked UT Chat to win this game.
Oh, okay.
Does it make sense? No, but does March Madness make sense? So I'm going with UT Chat just off a gut feeling on this, but it makes sense to pick Illinois if you're looking at numbers.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Illinois on this, even though they burned me last year. Screw them. Kept me out of the money. But I'm going to go Illinois right here. Just because I have UAB, I just don't think both are going to win. Yeah. Although I think this is the bracket that could have the biggest turn upside down to it. Yeah. Just like that Midwest bracket, I think, last year with Illinois and Oregon State and them. But Colorado State, 6 seed versus 11 seed Michigan. I have Michigan. I just think they're going to win. I think this is an unfortunate matchup for Colorado State. Watched Colorado State a few times. They're interesting. I like Roddy as kind of like a stretch five. He might be able to pick on Dickinson a little bit, but I'm believing in the hype of Juwan Howard coming back and the bulletin board material they have gotten from everyone saying that, how did this team get in? They're barely above 500, which in fact is true. But I think they have a lot of bulletin board material that Juwan Howard is going to use to motivate this team. So I have Michigan pulling what is a numerical upset, but in all actuality is probably not. Do you agree with that, or you think it's a true upset? Or do you like Colorado State?
I do agree. I think Michigan wins this game off of hype. And I didn't have too much trouble picking that just because of the next round. But I do think that they come in motivated. On the other side, Colorado State might be motivated by that also. But I do think Michigan – what's the phrase you use all the time?
I'm not sure. I got nervous.
When people keep missing shots, they're eventually going to hit one.
Oh, regression to the mean?
Yeah. That's Michigan's motto for this first round game, right?
Regression to the mean. Regress to the mean, the Wolverines. It rhymes. So we got Michigan that one. The 314 Tennessee Longwood. I have to say, Longwood, great name. And
that was your AOL chat name, wasn't it?
Right. I won't tell you which number, double digit number, was behind it.
Probably the Ken Palm
ranking. No, their Ken Palm ranking is my weight. That's how bad this Longwood team is. But Longwood, what's interesting about Longwood is they actually play five out and they shoot a ton of threes, which I'm very interested to see against Tennessee. I'm not picking them to win, but that high variance of the threes of Longwood, I just want to say Longwood as many times as I can before we have to move on, because we won't be able to talk about them again after this. So I'm picking Tennessee, but I do think there's some interest if Longwood gets hot from the perimeter. I do think that's interesting subplot, because everyone's on Tennessee and everyone was on Ohio State last year. Remember, we had Oral Roberts. So maybe this is a weird, I don't see it happening, but it could be weird. It's possible the way Tennessee plays, but do you have Tennessee as well? Or do you have the old, the Longwood?
I got Tennessee. Rick Barnes going to be all over that. Okay. Longwood.
All right. Ohio State. Boy. 7 Ohio State. Versus 10 Loyola. I think we're lock and step on thought on this one.
Yeah, I got Loyola.
I've got Loyola as well. Villanova, Delaware, which Delaware does have that guy's son who played for, oh, I can't remember now. His point, Jameer Nelson's kid. Kind of interested by that, the old Big East rivalry. But do you have Villanova here?
I do have Villanova.
Next round, Arizona, both of us, Arizona versus TCU. Do you think TCU could be one of these 8-9-1 upsets?
I think in one of my brackets, I actually did pick them. This side of the bracket is terrifying if you're looking at putting some money down on them, because there's so many things that could go wrong. If I'm picking for safety on my bracket, I'd probably go with Arizona here. But I'm going to go, I'm been going with this bracket that I did yesterday on this one that we're doing today, where I picked TCU to get the upset.
So you're going TCU?
Yeah.
I like it for the people. I actually have a bracket where TCU wins as well. I think TCU can kind of stick with them, and Arizona, you know, can play a, they have a tendency to not shoot very well, but they're just so physically imposing. But TCU is kind of guards, I would say, quicker. I don't know if they'll be physical enough. The problem with TCU, I just needed TCU to shoot better. But I do think this is a candidate for who had that COVID pause that kind of throws us off the scent of how good this team actually is. I mean, beating Kansas and Texas Tech, I'm pretty sure it's Kansas. I know it's at least Texas Tech. It throws us off this, like, they're good enough to beat these top teams.
Yeah.
Especially ones that play similar style like Arizona. So I like it. I'm going to take Arizona here just because of the shooting woes, but I'm interested in it because Arizona is going to be, or we assume is going to be, without their starting point guard. I mean, he showed a picture of his bruised ankle yesterday and it looked horrible. Been there, done that. I know how long that injury takes. If they bring him back sooner, he's not going to be able to put pressure on it at all.
Yeah.
So I look to TCU to take advantage of that. So I'm interested by that matchup, but I'll take Arizona here. I have UAB versus Illinois, and I hate to do it. because I want to ride the train of UAB here, but I'm going to take Illinois between that matchup that I have. But you have Houston and Chattanooga. Who do you like out of those two?
I got Houston.
Houston to make a Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Next, we both have Michigan versus Tennessee. Do you keep riding the bulletin board material? Are you fading Rick Barnes, or do you believe in Kennedy Chandler, and old Briarcrest alum?
Yeah,
transfer, I should say.
I'm going with Kennedy on that one. I think Tennessee makes it through. That's really playing it safe, just in case Colorado State does beat Michigan. I think Tennessee beats them as well. So that's really my reason for picking Tennessee on this, just playing it safe.
Yeah, I actually have Michigan. I'm just believing. I know they're barely above 500 team. They've had all this stuff going on all year. They've been hugely disappointing. But I think they get hot in March, and they'll be super motivated. I really like their point guard, actually, even though he doesn't shoot the ball great, but he does all the distribution, and I really like that kind of thing in March. And I think they can match up physically with them. So I like Michigan here. Now, last one, Loyola versus Villanova. Are you still riding the Sister Jean train of not luck, because that's not biblical. What's the biblical word for luck? I don't know. Fortune? I don't know how. A blessing?
Prophecy?
I don't know. Prophesied? Are they getting to a Sweet 16 again, or are you going Villanova?
I'm going to go with Loyola here.
Ooh!
That's going to be Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to pick Loyola. I just can't do it. I actually like Villanova.
Yeah.
Even though they're small, I think Loyola matches up pretty well. But Loyola's offense sometimes can just get really bogged down. And it's really only two guys on offense and like a post player who'll do something every once in a while. I don't think it's a high-scoring game, but I think Villanova is going to be a little more efficient on offense and be able to hold Loyola. But I love the matchup.
My thing with Villanova right now, they just won the Big East tournament, I believe. For the past 2-3 weeks, let me look. I can actually see for sure. Since – over a month now, they've only lost one game, and it was to Connecticut by 2 points. They've won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They've won 8 games, and they are all by very close margins. I mean, there's half of them by 1, 2 points here. And usually those teams who are barely squeaking by but still getting the wins, it doesn't last very long. So that's why I've got Loyola upsetting them here, because I think they easily get by Delaware, and I think Loyola comes in more prepared, more ready. I don't know what word I'm trying to say, but I think Loyola is more prepared and beats them there.
I like it. I really do. But getting to Sweet 16, I have Arizona versus Illinois, which I actually think is kind of an interesting brute physical strength matchup, like who can bench press more, wins this game. But I'm going to take Arizona here. I just can't back Underwood and Illinois. I just can't do it. But you have a very interesting, intriguing matchup, TCU versus Houston. Who do you think? This is that break we're talking about with the upsets with Houston. Kind of got a break, you know, last year to the Final Four. Here's a break again. Are you putting them in the Elite Eight?
I am. I'm putting Houston right there.
Ooh, Houston.
Like you said, it's a path where some luck has to happen. But if I'm going with TCU beating Arizona there, I've got to stick with Houston making it to the Elite Eight.
Ooh, wouldn't that be great? Another American Conference team making it to the final eight teams.
And you've got to remember, I think the power rankings – this past week, Memphis was number 2 in the country. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that, yeah. Ever since Imani left.
Yeah, number 2. And even though they were tired after 2 hard games and facing a little bit of injury, Houston handled them the other day like it was no problem. They were in control the whole time. So Houston is capable. I really think their main concern is just getting past UAB in the first round. And if they can do that, I think they can make it all the way to the Elite Eight.
Wow. Houston, I like it. So in our Elite Eight, or I'm sorry, we're missing a team. You have Tennessee versus Loyola in the Sweet 16, a matchup from a couple years ago where Loyola knocked them out, I believe, in the same spot in the Sweet 16, or maybe it was in the second round to get to the Sweet 16. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure it's the Sweet 16. The matchup again, does the same result happen?
No, because I don't think Loyola is what they were a few years ago. And obviously different coaching staff, different style. And Tennessee remembers that game. So I've got a Tennessee.
Rick Barnes never forgets, although he seems to forget everything when he's coaching on the court in game. Yeah. So you got Tennessee in here. So for the final matchup, I have Arizona. Did I do my Michigan-Villanova matchup? I don't think I did. I have Michigan versus Villanova, and I'm actually going Villanova. I hate to do it. I just can't. I wanted to put Michigan here, but I'm going to go with Villanova. Yeah. So for the final matchup, I have Arizona versus Villanova. I have Arizona advancing, even with the question marks of their point guard. I just can't buck the system, which burned me last year. But I've got to trust the process, as they say. And maybe I'll get a Joel Embiid this year. But you have Houston versus Tennessee for final berth, yeah. Final four berth. Yeah. Who do you got?
Yeah, I got Tennessee in that one.
Tennessee to make a final four.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just holding expectations really high so they just fail in my eyes, which is always sweet to me. But yeah, if this is the case, I've got Tennessee going.
Cool. So for the South bracket, I have Arizona in the final four. You have Tennessee. In the West bracket, we both have Duke. Who would have thought? But the South is a super fun bracket. I'm very interested by that. Brandon, thanks for hopping on here. Those are our brackets. We might be coming back in a couple days. We'll see. Maybe we'll do another from Sweet 16 on. We'll kind of update some things. So we hope you're enjoying the brackets and picking the upsets, picking your champion. Win a lot of money with us. You know we're going to put money in your pocket. We'll be having the two other brackets coming up with another guest who hasn't watched a second of college basketball. So it'll be very different from this one here. So it'll be a lot of fun. But thanks again, Brandon, for being on, man.
Of course, it was fun.
See you next time. Maybe we'll talk about it on the golf course soon.
All right.
Friendly wagering. We'll see.
Keep it under 100.